Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my guest is Christine. Christine was born and raised in Philadelphia. At the age of 21, she left and remained away from her home city for 29 years. In 2019, she returned to Philadelphia to help care for her father, who had dementia. During that time, she had an alien love bite experience, which lasted until 2021. She knew something was off with the situation, but did not fully understand what she was going through until the veil was lifted in March 2022, when she realized the person she was in love with had an entity attachment, i.e., was hosted. Previous to this experience, Christine knew possession existed, but she thought it was more like what she'd seen in the movie The Exorcist. She didn't realize the subtle ways possession manifest. She also saw that entity attachments are very common in the general population, boy howdy, and that she had struggled with one herself from the ages of 15 to 23, but was fortunate to free herself after 8 years of extreme difficulty. Christine was considered an essential worker during the pandemic and worked in hospital administration during COVID. The alien love bite woke her up internally, while COVID woke her up externally to the larger evils of the world. She did 1500 hours rather, of research on the most recent injections and tried to warn others, but no one would listen. Because of this, she fell into a depression for about 6 months. After healing from her alien love bite experience, Christine started a YouTube channel to help others who have gone through similar situations. She currently works in social media. Previous to social media, she worked in healthcare for 20 years as an occupational therapist, and previous to that healthcare, she was an accountant. So without any further ado, Christine, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James. Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Me too. And by the way, happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there back in America. Christine, we've been talking a lot in the recent past about the different ways this control system exerts its power over us, or attempts to. And in one of those ways, well, we have affairs of the heart, where you alluded to in the bio, the alien love bite situation. And then I'm going to get into the breeding out the love program that my mentor, Barbara Bartulik, has talked about. And we see this playing out in real time today. Tell our listeners and viewers a bit about yourself and the voyage of discovery that brought you to that point, that epiphany where you realized that, okay, internally I've had this epiphany, and externally with these lockdowns and everything, I had another epiphany. Please, the floor is yours.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay. So let me start with my alien love bite experience because I think that'll be the most helpful for your listeners. So I'm going to back up a little bit. And in 2019, I was living in Sacramento, California. And at that time, and this, I'm going to back up because some of this background is relevant to the alien love bite. So in 2019, this opportunity came up for me that was potentially life-changing in a good way. But in order to do it would require working about 7 days a week for about 7 or 8 months. And it was reviewing something that happened in high school. It was a rather traumatic situation. I won't get into the details. In some ways, it doesn't matter. So I decided to go ahead and take on this project. And in addition to that, I was working three jobs in three different hospitals as an occupational therapist. Okay. So basically, I was reliving my own trauma while dealing with other people's trauma. So it was 24/7 for about, I would say, 7 or 8 months. And at the end of that time, which would have been June of 2019, I received notification that I had been successful on this project, and it absolutely changed my life. And so I was simultaneously elated, but also during that time, I knew I would be moving back to Philadelphia because my father had dementia and my father required increasing care. And since I had the healthcare experience, I said, yeah, let me go back. So it was, in short, a very, very busy time. And what I didn't realize is that it blew me wide open physically, mentally, and spiritually. And previous to this, I always knew that something was off, Like, I woke up, I would say, in spurts, but this was the time that just blew me wide open. And the thing is, I don't think any of us ever want to admit we're vulnerable, but in looking back, I was very vulnerable, but I don't think I could have prevented this from happening. So in June of 2019, I received notification that I was successful. I was elated. And then in July of 2019, I received a friend request of this person that I dated briefly in high school. And I accepted the friend request, and to be honest, it was not a big deal to me. I was like, oh, that's great. I call this person, I'm just going to call him Mr. Catalyst because that's what I call him on my YouTube channel just to protect his identity. So I received this Facebook friend request, and what's interesting is he did not know that I was moving back to Philadelphia, and that's where he lived. And this is where the synchronicities come in. So I can't list all of the hardcore synchronicities, but I will list some of them for your audience. The other thing is, too, everything that I had just documented and written about that had happened to me in high school, he would have known every single person that I had just documented. And I thought that was very interesting. Like, wow, if I actually really get to know this person again, this is something that I could potentially share with him, and he would understand all the players in the game versus just some random person coming into my life. And I also want to add that I'm single, never married, no children. At that time, I was 50 years old, and talk about the love desert, which I believe goes into the breeding out the love program. I had not been involved with anyone for about 5 or 6 years at that point. And even subsequent to the alien love bite experience, I'm still not involved with anyone. And I just say that to say that sometimes this isolation that we go through sets us up for these experiences. Whereas ordinarily, if you had love in your life, I think a lot of times, these experiences may not hit as hard. I would say that for myself. So going back to 2019, I was open to the possibility of being with someone. But if some random guy had just messaged me, I would just be like, no, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in going back and forth with people I don't know. But in my head, I knew this person. And so there were just a lot of hardcore synchronicities, some of which I unfortunately cannot state, just because I don't want to reveal his identity. And I started going back and forth with this person, and it was interesting because I really enjoyed messaging with him, which is unusual for me. I usually just don't randomly message with people. And so finally I told him, I said, hey, I'm gonna come back to Philadelphia. It would be great to see you. And he alluded many times to meeting up. And during those 3 months, I relocated back in August of 2019. I was very, very busy. I lived in California. He was in Philadelphia. He worked nights, I worked days, and so we never spoke on the phone. And to be honest with you, I didn't want to. I was too busy. I was like, I don't really care. I'll just see this person when I get back to Philadelphia. What I didn't realize, and what I say on my YouTube channel, is I was wading into these waters, and I just thought I was ankle deep. But as these 3 months went by, I was getting deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And I didn't even realize it, James. And that was kind of shocking to me because I never thought anything like this could just happen via the internet. Because I said, surely, if I'm going to fall in love with somebody, I'm going to have to see them face to face, especially a guy. I mean, to give you an idea, I think the last time I had even liked a guy by that point was at least 15 years ago. So I had like zero concerns. Which is another thing, too, that I think with these alien love bite setups, it's almost like, well, first of all, I didn't even realize they existed, but you walk into a trap without realizing it because you don't have your guard up. I mean, I would have never known. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, oh, wow, this is so great. Like, I'm really getting along with this person. And he seemed on the surface really functional. But what's interesting is even from the very first text, I knew something was off, but I gave him the benefit of the doubt. And that's another thing. I think I had actually been trained to do that through healthcare. So in healthcare, we always give people the benefit of the doubt because, we're constantly rooting for people to do well. And if they don't do well the first time, then we give them a second chance and a third chance. And so I was kind of getting these small red flags, but I was like, well, I don't really care. I mean, I don't really like this guy anyway. And I just continued on and kind of just ignored the red flags. So a couple of things happened when I drove cross country from August of 2019 until September of 2019. And just a couple of things seemed a little bit off to me. You would think if someone was concerned, they would mention like, "Hey, I really hope you have a good trip. Get to Philadelphia safely. I'm looking forward to seeing you." Something simple like that. But one of the things I mentioned that I noticed is, he really doesn't seem to have concern. And that's one of the things that I'll mention that, looking back, I was definitely like an internet girl that he was getting supply from. But at that time, I took him at his word because surely someone that I knew from high school wouldn't disappear on me. They would at least be honest with me. And just to go back a little bit, I had worked in healthcare for 20 years with some amazing men, really amazing men. And previous to that, I had experienced several episodes of SA, of violence. One episode of violence threw me in the hospital for like a week when I was in my early 20s. And so I was no stranger to predators, but I thought I had put all that behind me. And I thought surely those predators were an exception and not something that I really had to look out for. And surely not someone from high school, not someone that I thought that I knew. And once again, this plays into, I think each of these alien love bites is set up so that the person, it's set up specifically for the person. So someone could be sitting here listening to this and be like, "Oh, surely I'm not going to fall for that." And that's correct. You might not fall for my alien love bite experience, but if you're walking into it, it's going to be tailored specifically for you. And I know because I've talked to people globally about this. And so I really think they're very specific setups. But at the time, I was like, why would someone be interested in attacking me? I'm not anybody. So I didn't even think this was possible. So to make a long story short, as I was driving across the country, I was getting more and more attached to this person and not realizing it. When I got to Philadelphia in September of 2019, the day that I pulled in, and we had been messaging very consistently, the day that I pulled in, it was so weird, James. Like, I felt it. I never felt so connected to someone in my entire life, and I hadn't seen this guy in like 35 plus years. So I felt him pull back. It wasn't anything that I said or did, but everything changed when I pulled in. And I was like, oh my God, like what just happened? And it was an energetic feeling. It wasn't anything else. And then I was like, okay, well, once again, I'm too busy. I have a family situation I'm dealing with. I got to start a new job. Mr. Catalyst was on down the line in terms of getting together. So I wasn't like just jumping out of my car and like running to see him. And part of me was almost like, oh, well, maybe I should try to live where he lives. Maybe that would make it a little bit easier because he lived an hour outside of the city. And then my gut was like, no, don't do that. And one of the things I'm going to say is one of the things that saved me is that I have a very strong sense of myself. If I didn't, I don't even think that I'd be able to sit here and talk about it like this, like a normal person. So there were starting to be things I was like, oh, this guy, you know what? There's something off. Okay. And I knew it. And I felt that the whole time I really got a strong sense that he was sleeping with other women. I didn't f what I thought at the time was, okay, if he's sleeping with other women, like what say do I really have in that? I'm not seeing this guy. I don't know this person that well. I said to myself, if we get together and we actually get along, then maybe I'll have some type of say in that. But I don't have any jurisdiction over this person's life, and he doesn't have any jurisdiction over my life. I'm really big into freedom. So when I got here, and I remember it was October of 2019, the job that I mo moved here for fell through. And at that time, I was very disappointed. It was at a level one trauma center in a hospital. Now, remember, this is about 6 months before COVID hits, and that job did not work out. That was a blessing in disguise because I would have been on the front lines of COVID. I remember messaging with this person, and I just said, you know, this job didn't work out. You know, I said, would you happen to have time to talk? We hadn't even spoken on the phone. And he was like, oh, no, I can't. And that hit me. I was like, okay, well, after 3 months, I'm in Philly. You don't have time to talk? I was like, yeah, this is it. Okay, so at that point, I was sad and disappointed. I did not realize how far into this I had gotten until one night I tried, just, you always hear like, okay, when you find out a person is no good, you have to block them, delete all your social media, you know, just, you know, no contact. And there was something in me that said, don't do that. Don't delete all the messages. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, what? And I never go against, you know, my internal feeling. And they said, listen, just get to a point of neutrality. This was, you know, I really felt this kind, good spiritual presence. It was really a battle of good and evil, but this kind spiritual presence just came to be. And they were just like, look, get to a point of neutrality, it's going to be okay. Because what they're seeing a couple years in advance, and all I'm seeing is, look, I gotta delete this. I gotta move on with my life. I'm like, I'm in a huge amount of pain here. I don't understand why, but you know, I've got things to do, and I'm like, I think I have to get rid of everything. And they were like, okay. And so I deleted everything. And I did feel a temporary relief for 2 hours, and then all the pain came back, which was shocking to me because I was like, okay, you know, and the other thing that saved me is my logical mind. Okay, so the one thing I will say, I don't mean to, I don't mean to put all women in this category, but women can tend to be very emotional, and I've always had that logical side. Like I was in accounting. You know, I worked in a very high stress profession where I had to keep my head about me. And I said to myself, okay, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense. This is a guy I haven't seen in 35 plus years. I have this telepathic connection with him, you know, which I can get into a little bit later. I have, I feel like I'm in love with this person, and it doesn't make any sense. And I'm going to back up. I'm just going to tell one story that happened, before I left for Sacramento, which will illustrate this. I have done yoga for about 23 years. And so I was in a hot yoga class, and as I was in this pose, his sexual energy came over me. And I never experienced this before. I knew it was his sexual energy. And I said to myself, like, oh my. And it wasn't even a turn on for me. I actually felt sympathy for this person. And I said to myself, I don't, how does this guy deal with this every day? It was so strong. And I had never felt anything like that before. And that was the first time I realized what men actually go through on a day-to-day basis. Now, Mr. Catalyst sexual energy is probably way up here, you know, whereas maybe the average male is here. But still, and dare I say, these alien love bite situations happen to highly empathic, kind people. And so somebody else might have run in the other direction. And, you know, myself at the time, I'm like, How can I help this person, right? How can I help him? But at the time, I didn't mention it to him. I didn't mention, like, there was another time I was walking down the street when I was in Sacramento, and I just turned my head slightly to the left, and it was like, boom, all this information about his life came to me, and I was like, what is this? This is crazy. I've never had this happen before in my life. And at the time, I was like, I'm not going to mention it to him, which I'm glad I didn't. But what I realized is there's something different about this situation. And so all those differences made me want to pursue the situation more versus back off. Okay, so that's just a little bit of a background. I'm gonna go back to the timeline of October of 2019. So when I deleted all this stuff, I thought for sure that I would be able to move forward, but what had happened was there was an energy field penetration which came all the way in, and this is me looking back. I didn't realize it at the time. And when you have an energy field penetration like that, it's not going to be so easy just to walk away from it, because what had happened was my energy was penetrated physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and I didn't even realize that this could happen via the internet. And that's a very important thing, because believe me, if this happened to me, I mean, and I'm this hasn't happened since in this manner where someone I didn't even meet or know for 30 plus years, and I have this energy field penetration. You have to be very careful about your interactions, not just face to face, but over the internet as well. So as I continued on with my life, I wound up getting a job in administration in a pediatric hospital. It was a very stressful job. And my whole life was set up kind of around work and caring for my father, and that was a very, very difficult family situation. The reason why I mention that is because the thoughts of Mr. Catalyst, it was almost like I was walking towards a mirage that I couldn't get to. And even though I knew this person was not good for me, I'm thinking, well, maybe because of the connection, there really is something there. And I have to say, my weakness is I have to say I'm a sucker for a metaphysical connection, because I believe that that should be the basis for romantic relationships here on Earth. But unfortunately, we're just not there yet. But when I had this metaphysical and telepathic connection with this person, it was very hard for me to let it go, because I had been trained to that point that synchronicities were a good thing. And sidebar, I think they still can be a good thing, but I think you also have to be really careful, especially if these synchronicities are amped up and almost over the top. Well, that's something to take a look at. So we were in and out of contact for about 2 years. And it was always Mr. Catalyst. I was always me initiating contact. I would stay away for about 6 months, and then, I would initiate contact and we would start messaging again. And it's hard to admit that I did that at that time. Obviously, if I could go back and do things differently, I would. But in looking at it, I did the absolute best I could knowing what I knew. So I started doing research, and it was interesting. I came upon Eve Lorgan's book, The Dark Side of Cupid, in 2020, and I actually wrote that down, but I didn't read it at that time. I didn't read it until a couple of years later. And the reason why I mention this is going through these situations is indeed a process, okay? I'm gonna speak in my instance. I believe it absolutely was a spiritual attack, and you absolutely can get to the other side of these spiritual attacks. And if you get through it and if you win, you're going to come away with a lot more information than you had before. So to me, even though I didn't understand what was going on, I said to myself, I'm going to figure this out because I don't want to live like this. I had this longing, pining, and I was overwhelmingly sexually attracted to this person. And my heart said, oh my gosh, yeah, like, yes, like this is the person for you. And I understand why. I'll get to that towards the end. But then my logical side was like, this guy's no good for you. Like, what are you doing? And the other thing that's very difficult is I didn't really have anyone to talk to. Like, who are you going to mention these things? Like, yeah, I have a telepathic connection with a person that I haven't seen in 30 years. I mean, do you think like the average person is going to sit there and be like, oh, okay, like what else is going on with you? It's the isolation can be really, really hard to take. And what happened was when this situation came into my life, I'm going to try to describe this. My energy field split, and I've been working with a split consciousness ever since. Okay. Meaning it's almost like I'm here, but I'm also in this other place, simultaneously. And so when I was going through this, like I could feel him. I just felt like he was literally right here. It was 24/7 for 2 years, and it was very, very, very hard to take. And so the fact that I wouldn't contact him for 6 months was actually pretty good given the situation. Once again, this is me looking back on it. Now, each time I contacted him, and it was probably like 3 times in 2 years, the feeling would get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know how, like, sometimes when you break up with a person, you might have some feelings and then it fades over time. Well, this was the reverse. It was getting stronger. And I said to myself, wait, like, what's going on here? Like, that doesn't make sense. Am I really meant to be with this person? Because it's getting stronger. And, I was getting to know him more. And, that was bonding me more to this person. And like I said, I knew that this person was sleeping with other people. And that was really hard for me to take. It was really hard for me to take. And each time he would lead me up to be like, yeah, we'll get together. And then he would just fade out. And, once again, my logic and reason would say, well, that's not a person that you would want to be interested in. But because of this total energy field penetration, and that's me looking back on it, I didn't understand it at the time. Because of the total energy field penetration, I was not so easily able to walk away. Had that, I didn't expect that. So this went on for a couple of years, and the last time we were in contact was actually 4 years ago, November of 2021, and it was very intense. I think we were in contact for about 6 weeks. And what I'm going to say is this is difficult too, because he's the only one. I have had telepathic connections with other people, but I haven't been able to confirm it. And I'm a very practical person. So if something comes in and I'm like, huh, I think this happened to this person, let me confirm it with them. But a lot of times that's not appropriate to do for a variety of reasons. Okay, really, you don't know them well enough. Okay, so let me just, I'm gonna step out for a minute. Like, say something about you came to me. I would, for the most part, feel comfortable saying, James, this came to me about you. Is it correct? And you could say yes or no. But if it's about someone that you don't really know very well, then it might not be appropriate. You really have to use your judgment on that because this happens to me a lot, present day. Now, going back to 2021, I started confirming some of these things with him, and I would say I was about 90% accurate. And that's a really hard thing to let go of, where you have this accuracy in the telepathic connection. And even at one point, Mr. Catalyst asked me, he said, well, Christine, do you have a gift? And I said, I don't know. I just know that this information about you is coming to me. And during this time, I really wanted to help this person. And that's another thing you have to be careful, because that person might not want to be helped. And that was the case in this situation. They might just be interested in draining your energy, So in November of 2021, things ended and he blocked me on everything, which was absolutely devastating to me at the time. But I knew I had to go on with my life. And I still, by that point, I had researched things. I had come across the twin flame concept. I had bought into that ideology to an extent that this person was my twin flame because I didn't have any other explanation for it. I came upon E.V. Lorgan's book, The Dark Side of Cupid. And so I was just considering like various explanations, but more important, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? And when things are erupted in the drama that we usually know is associated with the alien love bite in November of 2021, it took me a little bit, but I was like, I'm going to get through this. But that was a pretty dark time. And my father's condition was also getting worse. So remember, during these 2 years, I'm working this job, I'm caring for my father, difficult family situation. That's another thing. These alien love bites will come in, and there's a lot of things going on, and it's during a point of vulnerability. So in February of 2022, my father passed away, and that was actually a positive thing, because it wasn't going anywhere good. The reason why I mentioned that is 1 month later, in March of 2022, I'm just sitting in my apartment, and just randomly, I just asked God. I said, "Why can't I get rid of this?" And I'm just sitting there thinking, and then I say, and it's really important to ask the right questions. I said, "Is this meant for my highest good? Is this from God?" And then I get the answer, and this is just, telepathically. They said, "The devil masquerades as a false white light." And at that point, it was like, boom, everything collapsed. I just felt this like collapse. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And then I realized this person has an entity attachment. And I knew specifically it was a reptilian entity attachment. I knew it right away. But not only that, I realized I had had one myself from the ages of 15 to 23, a really bad one. And throughout this time, it's funny, they kept telling me the forces of good would come to me and they would tell me, he's just like you were in high school. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, he seems a little immature. Yeah, I get it. Sometimes there's the Peter Pan syndrome with grown adults. And especially men, sorry, no offense, because you don't fit in that category. But I'm like, yeah, I get it. And they would say that, they said that several times. He's just like you were in high school. And then when I had that moment of realization, when the veil was lifted, I'm like, I get it now. I get it. We were both hosted, and I was really fortunate to get out, and he wasn't, So it took me about a year to recover. I actually did three sessions with Eve Lorgan, which were very, very helpful because in speaking with someone like yourself, and especially Evie, who they understand what's going on, just to be able to talk to this about it with somebody was extremely helpful because I just couldn't even in today's age, I couldn't find anyone that I could relay this entire story to. And even to this day, thank God, we never did meet up. I can't tell you his background. I wish I could, but I don't want to, I don't want to put any personal details out there. But trust me, when I looked at this person's background, I was like, oh my God, like, I was so innocent and I was so naive, and I don't say that in a disparaging way. It's just that's why I decided to start my YouTube channel so that people actually know that these things exist and so that you can develop a framework to operate throughout your life. Because one of the things is with predators, social access Social access is number one. I'm going to tell you, we talk about stranger danger and people out on the street, and yes, indeed, that does happen. Like, I live in Philadelphia and we have our crime. But social access is the number one way that someone is going to get to you. And after I studied this, and after I have seen how people are taken down by those who supposedly love them, I said, Christine, you have to develop a framework, not a paranoid framework, but a framework to work within, and that you can share this with other people who are interested. Because I'm going to tell you, it's just the everyday people that are walking around in the population that are attacked in this manner. And dare I say, these attacks are so, they are so alluring. Evil does not work the way we think it is. Evil is very, very alluring. There was no one else that I wanted more in the world than Mr. Catalyst. And yet I knew from the forces of good that something was not right. And they knew that I would eventually figure it out, but I just had to have faith until I got to that point. And now, thank God, today, I don't have any desire to see this guy, or anything. But what I had to do, and this is very important, it's almost like an energetic web that you have to dismantle. So you have to dismantle it on a physical level, emotional level, and spiritual level. And that took me about a year, maybe even a little bit longer. So it's not an overnight process. And even when I started my YouTube channel back in 2024, there were times when I would try to talk about this and I would break down in tears and I would be like, oh my God, I thought I was over this. But, it really does take some time to work your way out of. And I wasn't even physically involved with this guy, thank God. There was an extreme amount of sexual tension, but it was all via internet. And that's another thing we have to look out for. And I'm sorry if I'm going to sound woo, but I think your audience is used to the more etheric types of things. But these entities ride these frequencies like night and day. And once you actually see it in a practical way, and it's not just like, oh, no, like this is real, and you have to be careful who you're in contact with and who you're bringing into your life. And that's one thing I learned with Mr. Catalyst, and I have been so fortunate to be able to sidestep various situations because I went through this, and I'm very passionate about it because, as this is the tip of the iceberg. There's many other types of attacks, and I will never shut down my heart. That's one thing. A lot of the people emerge, they emerge angry, they emerge bitter, and I'm never going to do that because that means the forces of darkness win. But you do need to almost develop like a virus protection system so you start filtering out people. And now I luckily have the gift of being able to see entity attachment, not see, I'm sorry, no entity attachments. Occasionally I will see them, which is kind of predictable but disturbing as well. And it's amazing how common this phenomena is. I have family members that have entity attachments, and since I've developed this sensitivity, it is isolating, but I wouldn't have it any other way because I was to wrap up, my whole life I was on a football field walking around and I wasn't padded up because I didn't realize I was playing the game. And so I'm walking on this field like boom, and I get hit. I'm like, oh my God, that was a hard hit. Maybe that's an essay, maybe it's a violent attack. Maybe someone's trying to destroy my career, and these things are all usual when you're a little bit different. And then I recover from that, and then like boom, and I went through my life like that until I had this experience. And I'm like, girl, you got to get padded up. You're playing the game. We're all in the game, And so we have to be very, very careful about our lives and who has access to them. And that's complicated in and of itself because of the love desert. A lot of people like myself, you're in the love desert and you want to give someone the benefit of the doubt because you have that hope because you've been without love for so long. So, thank you for letting me tell that. If you have any questions, I'll let you speak now.
Those were all key points you made. The love desert aspect hasn't been commented on as much as I think it needs to, because I was in a similar situation, being like this perennial, perpetual bachelor, right? And now they have these demeaning terms for it. Incel, I have to, you know, a lot of these terms I have to look up, and what are they talking about here? But one finds himself in a scenario where they are in a love desert. They have all this love in their heart. They're ready to give themselves, give of themselves, ready to be vulnerable, right? Ready to engage.
Exactly.
And everything seems right. And that's where, you know, the point at times when we get hit over the head with a love bite, because we're at our most vulnerable. This is it. This feels like it's the one. And the disappointment and the heartbreak, of course, is tremendous. And you could barely put it in the words. Like, for example, you went all that time without even meeting Mr. Catalyst, which tells me that energetically there was such a strong connection there.
It
I'm
was
not even
very
going to
strong.
speculate on what happened as far as like whatever dreams he may or may not have had with him, et cetera,
Oh, and yeah, just to interject, there were the stage managed dreams, which at the time I thought, oh, once again, this leads to the stage managed dreams where people think like, yeah, this is meant to be, and the reality is, it's just another thing to keep you hooked. So that's important. Go
yes, it
ahead.
is, because it feeds into the unrequited love, right?
Correct.
Because all that time, even wanting to connect with him, meet him at least, but he kept pulling back. But the energetic connection was, if anything, intensifying. But by all outward appearances, he was pulling back. So that will instill a sense of confusion and frustration. It's like, I don't understand what's going on. It seems right. Because of the ET's ability, and increasingly we've been seeing this capability within these deep black military elements that are involved with aliens as well, their ability to forge that energetic connection, which is brilliantly depicted in the Masquerade of Angels book, where Ted Rice and I forget the gal's name, Sally or whatever her name was, his love Beatrice, as young children, they were bonded together energetically. ETs took a wand of some kind and extracted energy from the girl, imbued it into Ted Rice's heart center area, if I'm remembering the story correctly. And then thereafter, he was just absolutely smitten with her, what Barbara Bartholik referred to as the state of enchantment, right? Because there's an element of enchantment, that things are magical, that I'm feeling alive again. We're almost waxing eloquently and thinking in poetic terms, right? As corny as it sounds, right? With me, it was almost like an opposite dynamic. It was pre-internet, but the love bite gal that I met, I'll call her Sally since I used that name earlier. We met, of all places, get this, at a UFO lecture. If memory serves, Randolph Winters was on a speaking tour, talking about Billy Myers and the Palladians, what have you, and this particular gal felt she had some kind of connection with the Palladians based on her experiences, etc. So, and I was a member in good standing of the San Diego UFO Society, and I'm pretty familiar with everyone there that's a member. And well, she stuck out like a sore thumb because I'd never seen this gal before, right? So, I started up a conversation with her after the lecture. Because, we used to always troop over to a restaurant next door there in Mission Valley, San Diego. And then, if we're lucky, we got to sit in the same booth with the speaker and we just have a really good convivial time, what have you. But
And
in this
James,
instance,
can I just ask you one question? Was this back in the 1990s? I just want to give the audience a
yes,
time frame because I think, go ahead.
early 1990s, I would say, 93 thereabouts, going forward 94. And long
Okay,
story
and
short, I'd met
go
this
ahead.
gal, and all those things that you talked about, the intensified feelings, the intensified seemingly energetic connection. But in her case, she had that ability that even when we'd see each other, it was all platonic, right? There was nothing sexual or anything about it, unfortunately, and from my standpoint back then. he had a way of like emotionally detaching, right? And not being very emotional or showing any affection to me. It was more like, from her perspective, I was just a friend, friend zone, what have you. But from my perspective, I was fully in the throes of the alien love bite, and I was completely miserable, right? Because it was that sense of unrequited love again, right? Well, here it is. I thought it was perfect. And she's in the UFOs. I'm in the UFOs, or they're in me. I don't really hadn't figured that part out yet, right?
Right.
Just thought, well, there's a basis for mutual understanding here, right? And in the few minutes we've got left, before the segment is over, what was interesting was, and I'm not going to explain this in a way as, and I'm trying not to explain it in a way to make her look like the villain or someone who just kind of used me, because nowadays they would use terms like simps and,
Right.
cucks and
Right.
what have you. Again, I got to look up these terms, right? But there was definitely a pathetic aspect from my perspective where anything I could do to stay connected to her, right? Back then we had the little miniature cassette recorders to answer the phone messages and what have you. And just when I thought that I'd be, turning the corner and things aren't working out, I'm reading too much into this. We can just be friends. Just like I'm friends with all these countless other women, right? And why don't I just be friends with this one, right? Friend zone is another term that they use these days. And then I'd see the light flashing on my voice machine and, could it be her, right? Play it,
Right.
hear her
And it's
voice.
a visceral reaction that you
It's a
can't
visceral
control.
reaction, hear her voice, and it's like this relief comes over me, right? Because this, again, this is pre-internet, and I cannot imagine how bad. Well, I know, I have an idea of how bad it can be now with astral rapetoids, bilocating and harassing women that they've met online and what have you. So I'd play the voice machine a message, play it again, right? And it got to the point where he began basically using this. Only happened a couple of times before the coin finally dropped, right? That she was using me as a babysitter, basically, right? But I had that pathetic need to stay connected with her, right? Okay, well, I like the kid. Yeah, she had a young boy at the time, and I was being a big brother, right? And one little sidebar, I felt bad about it because the kid knew that I was a St. Louis Cardinal fan. So when those nights or when she'd have to work, because she was a cocktail waitress at a music club, she'd ask me to watch him because she couldn't get a babysitter, right? So hope, if it was baseball season, oh, let's watch a baseball game, right? Or I tried to, because his TV, watch whatever he wants, right? But the times that I was able to kind of manipulate things to watch a baseball game, we sit there and watch. He realized I liked the St. Louis Cardinals because that's the team I always followed right back then. And he went and joined his mother put him into a little league. He joined the St. Louis Cardinals team. At least that's the uniform they wore. Turned out to be the worst team in the whole league, So that was, I felt bad about that. But anyway, so, I was kind of a big brother to this kid. So, okay, she needs me. And, I know that single income is not always easy to find affordable childcare, right? So to me, it was just a pathetic excuse to get around her, right? And so when the coin finally dropped, right? Was she told me that she was suddenly called into work, right? Okay. Just an excuse. Even if I'm just going to fleetingly see her when she comes back to work, right? So she had her next door neighbor, Trish, kind of keep an eye on her son until I got there, right? So when I got there, he'd already off been off to work, right? And so me and the kid, we would play sword fights with these rolled up big, gift wrapping tubes, and then we'd watch TV or whatever, right? And then when she came home, about 10:30, 11 o'clock, the boy is, long since gone to bed. He's sleeping. I'm just watching TV out in the living room. She comes in dressed to the nines, right? She wasn't wearing a cocktail uniform. It was clear she'd went out on a date, right? So here I am, right? Basically just suckered in to, because of this pathetic need to always be wanting to be around her, right? But then I see her all dressed and all made up and all this other stuff, stockings, heels, the whole nine yards. Clearly, she didn't go to work, right? And then on top of all that, believe it or not, and it wasn't the first time, but she complained about the state of the house. Why didn't I straighten the place out, right? Well, it was a mess to begin with. Secondly, I just thought I was here to watch your kid. I didn't know I was supposed to clean the place. So, on top of all that, on top of the realization, the epiphany, oh my God, I think she's gone out on a date. She just used me to watch her kid. Now she's complaining that I didn't clean her house for her, right? So, I went away from that experience driving back, pretty crestfallen, as you can imagine. And then, it took that, as well as the guidance of Barbara Bartholik and Evie Lorgan, because Evie and I were going through these love bite scenarios at the same time, actually, right? Fortunately, we had Barbie to talk to. See, so for me, it was a perfect storm. Love desert, right? Wanting to be engaged. Oh, this gal's all into UFOs, just like me, right? She's got a really cool kid. I'm kind of a big brother to him, talking to him about baseball and teaching him about baseball and stuff. But that was the excuse. Oh, well, she needs me to, watch her kid again. But really, it was an excuse on my part to stay connected with her, right? And then when I realized that she understood that dynamic from her perspective, I can just use this simp, to use modern day terms, to watch my kid. I don't have to pay for childcare and what have you. And he has this seemingly pathetic puppy dog need to want to stay connected with me at all, at all hazards, right? And then when I realized that, and also, like I mentioned, she had that ability to emotionally detach, whereas you experienced this long distance at times, or even when you were in the same city, Philadelphia, but you felt it energetically through social media, the times where they would, seemingly withdraw and what have you. That was the case with me. And through this process, I was so telepathically linked to her. Get this. I was in her, she wanted me to find something in her bedroom, right? When her son was at school, I was in her bedroom with her. She was straightening something out. And then I looked at this picture of a little girl on her dresser. I go, that's an interesting picture. I've seen that little girl before, right? And the girl would have been about, 6 or 7 years old, right? And I go, I've seen this little girl before. Who is she? Your niece or something? And she goes, oh, no, I don't have a niece. That was me. My therapist, she was seeing somebody, a therapist at the time. She told me to put up a picture of myself from that time frame, circa 7 years old, just to remind me of my inner child or whatever the therapeutic dynamic was, right? The purpose behind it. And I go, well, that's interesting, because how could I have been so familiar with that little girl when I'd never seen her before, consciously, but seeing her, the picture of the little girl, just, all these bells were rung, right? And then it ties into the Ted Rice story, where he was energetically bonded with this little girl. It was one way. He was getting all the feelings, but she wasn't, right? Very similar dynamic to this gal, right? So I see this picture. I go, I've seen that girl before. A little girl, it had to be the benefit of hindsight, looking back, it had to be when they had pre-bonded me with her, right?
I
And
had a
the
feeling you were going to say that.
yeah and the telepathic bond was such, right, where you felt strongly that he was, having affairs with these other women, messing around with all these other women.
Yeah, absolutely. I could feel it. I could feel, I forgot to mention that. This was another painful thing that I could actually feel when he was having sex with other women.
Yes. And so, see, with her, it was this off again, on again thing with her ex-boyfriend, right? He would come in and out of her life and what have you. There was that dynamic going on. She was hung up with on him, right? Now that was a previous boyfriend. the father of her son, she just had nothing but disdain for him, pretty much, right? Now they only met to exchange, the play tag team with the kid and what have you. He'd get the weekends with the kid, what have you. So the dynamic was such that, I would have these telepathic feelings and connections with her, and then I knew somehow that she was having a relationship with one of her coworkers at the music club, right? And it was really strong to me. I really felt. In fact, I had visual images of her, having sex with someone, and the pain that I endured. And then when it was confirmed, right, that she'd mentioned in passing, oh yeah, so and so at work, and been seeing each other. Oh, it was a crushing blow. Crushing blow. Here I am, her babysitter, right? And that was where I was at my lowest point. And I'd already been talking to Barbara Bartholik for a long time by then, but finally, and at the urging of my friend Joyce Spivey, right? Joyce has since passed away. She was a mutual friend of Evie and I. We used to go out to Joyce's abductee my lab group in the high desert in Southern California. And interact with her and her group and do investigations, what have you. And I kind of a little bit poured my heart out to her on the phone. Everything at back, as you know, back then was by the phone. We ran up god
Right.
awful phone bills. And then Joyce said, talk to Barbie, talk to Barbara about it, right? I go, okay, because I didn't know what else to do, right? And so this was after I found out she'd had that relationship. She told me about the relationship she had with the guy. And what was interesting was they'd had sex in that apartment like only like the day before, so it was still filled with that sexual energy, right? And
All right.
again, being somewhat empathic and sensitive myself, I picked right up on that. And so I called Barbie, and it took a little effort getting the story out of me. Finally, I just, this is what's going on with me. You're the last person I should be telling this to, right? When it turned out, ironically, she was the one person in the world I should be telling it to, right?
Exactly.
And then when I explained it to her, I remember distinctly parts of my story. We'd go out into the desert to go, sky watching at night. She gasped, that famous Barbie Bartholik gasp at the other end of the phone. The desert? Yes, the desert. We'd be going out sky watching. And she'd go, right? Because she knew, just from all the case studies and working with all these people, oh, he's all smitten with her, the love bite, and going out to the desert to go skywatching because they were a couple of UFO enthusiasts, right? Because I thought that's what we had in common. But really, what was going out in the desert when we were out there? Were we having missing time, right? And
Yeah,
so,
that's a good question.
and then I explained to her, oh yeah, she had this relationship with a guy. I'm just really bummed out and miserable, and want to curl up into a fetal position and just perish, right? And when you're talking about the manipulation, you're talking about, and this ties into what Jerry Marzinski talks about as well, the intrusive thoughts, the voices, what have you. It's like, the state of confusion and pain I was in, right? I mean, there was times I was driving over an overpass, and I'd be thinking, why don't I just drive off this thing and get it over with, right?
Absolutely.
So,
I absolutely know how you feel.
because here is, she and I aren't getting together. She's having an off with this other Tarzan, right? Here I am, just pathetically hanging around as a babysitter. Even after, she comes home and I busted her wearing, her Sunday best, coming back from a date, right? So anyway, that's my sad, pathetic story. And what helped me through the process was A, her coming back from the date, okay? Because like at that
That was
point, I
like
had
a wake-up call
it
to
was a wake
you,
up
something
call,
you didn't
at that
ignore.
point in neon lights, the term they use nowadays, simp, flashing on my forehead, right? Cuck, simp, whatever you want to call it. And then that was the catalyst to, borrow the term of the pseudonym that you're using for the mystery man. That was a catalyst that prompted me to talk to Barbie. And then when Barbie laid out with her vast experience, and part of me was in disbelief. You mean they can do this? Yes, they can do this. But there was a sense of relief as well as disbelief. because that explained everything. Because Barbie had been telling me we're emitters, we're resonators, right? Emotion, energy, and motion. And these beings would rather have us either in a low energetic ebb to enable easier access to us, because then we're resonating at their frequency bandwidth, or and or because it's two sides of the same coin, they get us all amped up in this enchantment love bite thing, right? And then they siphon us out that way. And it was a classic example in my case of unrequited love. It took me the better part of 3 years, to the point that in the infrequent times later, she called me up, and if she really, really needed me to watch her son, right? Okay, by then, it's like at that by that point, right? I could be face to face with her, and I wouldn't have all those feelings. So I turned a corner at that point, right? Where I no longer desired or hoped for or longed for that intimacy. That was shattered, with but talking to Barbie, being able to zoom out, and she laid it all out. Oh, you've got this, you got this big brother syndrome going on, where and that played into it too. The love desert, the big brother syndrome, wanting to stay connected, to her, Sally, right? So anyhow, we reached the end of the first segment. Christine, could you give our viewers and listeners your website and YouTube information?
Yes, I don't have a website right now, and I'll send you over my socials, but I'm at The Pragmatist, Thepragmatist on YouTube. And actually, I have right now a couple of YouTube channels, a couple of Instagram, and a couple of Instagram threads. Each platform has a bit of a different theme, but the things that we're discussing now, you can find on YouTube at The Pragmatist. And once again, I'll send them to you so you can link them in the show notes and they can get to it that way.
I encourage our listeners and viewers to go to Christine's YouTube channel, click like and subscribe. And for those of you that are listening and watching, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.